Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I welcome you all once again for joining Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call for today's mid-morning session. Today, we are very fortunate to have association of Her Grace, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Mataji will be inviting us on Chaitanya Bhagavata Adikanda 1.154 onwards. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for giving me a beautiful and valuable association this morning. Please take over the class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Shivani Mataji. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. Jai Shri Prabhupada. My humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Jayati Jayati Kirti Stasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Nritya Stasya Vishveshra Murte Jayati Jayati Nrityam Tasya Sarva Priyanam. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra, who's the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead and the abode of transcendental pastimes. All glories to his pure activities. Sri Gaurasundar is the controller of all other controllers, the Lord of the universe and the embodiment of transcendental knowledge. All glories to his devotees and all glories to the dancing of his beloved associates. Hare Krishna. So we are going to continue our study of the Chaitanya Bhagavata that has been going on for quite some time now. Very exciting topics, very exciting speakers. So this is what we are going to do today. We have about 15 verses to cover. So I was thinking we'll follow yesterday's format so that it's easy and there is some interaction. And because running through 15 verses it takes a little time. And the reason we are doing it this fast is because we want to finish a chunk of verses and have a connection as to what we are really trying to see in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And as you all know, these verses are mostly summary verses because the detailed analysis of these verses will come later. So there is no point going through the details now. We just have to look at it in a summary format. So that's the reason we are going to rush through these verses. And then tomorrow's speaker will finish the summary of Seshapanda or Antya Leela pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today will be the first half of the Antya Kanda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Because yesterday we saw the Madhya Kanda pastimes, right? We saw what all happened in the Madhya Kanda pastimes. Today it will be Sesha Kanda, also called as Antya Kanda. And tomorrow will also be Antya Kanda. It will be another 15 verses. So about 30 verses have been described to summarize the Antya Kanda. So I'll be covering 50% and tomorrow's speaker, esteemed speaker, will cover the remaining 15 verses. Okay. So before we get started, prayers. Om Agnana Timirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. My humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. Please bless me so that I can speak a few words and I hope to learn in this process. Vancha kalpata rupyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. So as I said, it will be a discussion format just for the sake of ease. And I'll be following in Prabhu's footsteps. So I hope everyone is able to participate. Text 154, you can see the verses on the screen, so it's easy for you all also to follow. Text 154. Seshakhande Vishwambhara Karila Sanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Namita Viprakash. In the Antya Kanda, after Vishwambhar takes sannyas, he comes to be known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So what is Nimai's sannyas name? Answer.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so you know, there is an explanation about what real sannyas is. So sannyas means it is something very serious. It's not just a change of dress. Just because you take up some saffron clothes, it doesn't make you a sannyasi. Actual sannyas is to give up the sense of material enjoyment or the desire for material enjoyment. If a person takes up sannyas and still maintains desires for material enjoyment, then such a person is called as karma sannyasi. And if a person wants to still merge into that effulgence, still has desires for mukti, then that person is a jnana sannyasi. Okay? But we want proper sannyas. We want sannyas following the principles of yukta vairagya, a proper Vaishnava sannyasi. Now, does anyone know what is the external way of sannyas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up? So did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take up Ekadanda sannyas or Tridanda sannyas, if you're aware of these terms? Any clue? Yeah, Ekadanda, that is right. So Ekadanda sannyas means it is a Mayava type of sannyas, right? So let's understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up the Ekadanda sannyas and what is the Tridanda sannyas. So generally in the impersonal tradition, the type of sannyas that is taken is called as Ekadanda, meaning the sannyas staff that they have has just one danda. Okay, it is all joined together. There is just like Ekatvam. So it represents the fact that everything is one, because that is the principle, right? Advaita philosophy speaks about that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru actually was in the Mayavad line, though by heart they were all Vaishnavas. They were in the Mayavad line, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this kind of a sannyas. In this kind of a sannyas, not only do they have Ekadanda, but also they clean shave their hair. Okay, no shikha. Clean shave the hair, no kanti, nothing. And also no Brahmin thread. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you all know, came from a Brahmana family. And he was, you know, in today's terms, you can call him Brahmin initiated. So obviously, he did have his shikha and he had the Brahmin thread. But according to the principles of Ekadanda Sannyasi, they renounce everything. They even renounce their varna. Okay, so-called varna, and they clean shave their hair and everything like that. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to take up the sannyas in the Advaita line. Any answers why he did that, though he was so much for Tridanda sannyas?
Isn't that because that was the predominant thing at that time and he wanted the general populace to accept him?
Exactly. General populace to accept him, and he wanted to propagate these principles of Krishna consciousness by actually approaching these kind of people, by mingling with them and approaching them and then making everyone chant Hare Krishna. Now, though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this Ekadanda sannyas, still by heart, he wanted everyone to actually accept only Tridanda sannyas. Okay, that is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explains here. So he says that though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his sannyasi pastimes like a jnani, like a typical jnani, still in his heart, his aim was to perform the activities of a Tridanda sannyasi. Now, what is the difference of a Tridanda sannyasi? The Tridanda sannyasi has a shikha. Why does he have a shikha? Anyone knows?
That's so Krishna can pull him out of the material ocean.
Exactly. Just like when a person is drowning, you know, he's like inside water, he's drowned inside water. How would a rescuer pull him up? Do you think he'll pull him by pulling up his hands or his legs or his neck? No, none of these. They pull up the tuft of hair. With the hair, a person is pulled up. That is the best way to pull up a person who's submerged. So we are also submerging in this ocean of existence, and it is only through that tuft of hair that these, brahmacharis or sannyasis or even grihasthas keep, as a follower of Vaishnava Siddhanta, the Lord actually pulls us up. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he really liked if people took up Tridanda sannyas and if they had the shikha. and they continued to have their Brahmin thread. So these are the principles that are followed by a Tridandi Sannyasi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated it. And also, though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in the Ekadanda order, still the Lord often chanted the verse Etamsa Asthaya that is spoken by the Avanti Brahmana. And this verse is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. I don't know if I pulled up the verse. I think. Okay, my mistake. I had it open yesterday, but I didn't have it open today. Okay, anyway. So this is the 23rd chapter, 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me see if I can pull up that verse for you so that we can see that verse and understand what that verse says and why Mahaprabhu had chant that particular verse. So I believe it is 11th canto. I'll be really quick. I won't waste your time. Okay, I'm taking time. Anyway, if someone can pull it up, that will be helpful. Okay, so this is the verse. If you can quickly
go to the verse number?
Etamsa Asthaya, 1135, and then you'll have to scroll down to the verse. So I'll keep explaining the meaning of the verse by the time someone finds it. So the meaning of the verse is that a sannyasi, that a person who has taken the renounced order of life, his main principal thought, the focus that he must have is surrender to Krishna. He must be constantly meditating on the fact that he's the servant of the Lord and he's completely dependent on the Lord. So that is what this verse means. Just because you're a sannyasi, it doesn't mean that one becomes completely independent and he's, you know, left to himself, meaning to himself by his own speculative process. It doesn't mean that he can find out the absolute truth. He's still always dependent on the Lord. So that is why one is always dependent on the lotus feet of Mukunda, the verse says. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he took the Ekadanda Sanya, still he chanted the verse, Etam Sa Asthaya, spoken by the Avanti mendicant. So this is the evidence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service to Lord Mukunda. Lord Mukunda, in the guise of a sannyasi, he had taken the role of an Ekadandi sannyasi, but still he was always, always dependent on the protection of the Lord, and he had a service mentality. And he was completely against, in heart, he was completely against this idea of ahangrahopasana. Ahangrahopasana, meaning it means that one, the Advaita people, what they do is they meditate that they are the Supreme Lord. Okay, they become one with the Supreme Lord. So one has this thought, meditation, and in their practices, they are often thinking, how I am Brahman, or how I am that Supreme Absolute Truth. So that is the principle, that is the philosophy of this Ahangrahopasana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely against it, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that we are always eternal servants of the Lord. We are not one with the Lord, or we are not God, right? So he truly believed that we are not God, and he was against this philosophy that was propounded by the Mayavadis. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appreciated the Shikha and the Brahmin thread that is seen in the external principles of a Tridandi Sannyasi. So much so that the Shikha that people keep is celebrated as Chaitanya Shikha, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much appreciated it. And it is interesting, it is very, very interesting that it is mentioned that Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, they all took Tridandi Sannyas. Now, it is sometimes people say that, oh, maybe Tridandi Sannyas was not a common thing in those days. It's not like that. It was very much common, because our Shastras speak of Tridandi Sannyas. In so many places, even when Arjun, he went to Subhadra's palace on Krishna's instigation, he went and he dressed up like a sannyasi, and finally he kidnapped Subhadra and both of them ran away, right? There's a pastime that is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even at that time, Arjun goes as a Tridandi sannyasi. It is very clearly mentioned he was a Tridandi sannyasi. So the Puranas, they talk about Tridandi only. They do not talk about Ekadanda Sannyas. And this is also clarified by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and also by Prabhupada in the purport of that verse, where this verse, Etamsa Asthaya verse, He has given like a huge purport, like 4 or 5 pages of purport. And there he describes all these details. So like that, actually, traditionally, it was only Tridandi Sannyas. Later, it evolved. Here we go, Vinita Gandharvika sharing. So initially, Kirtida Sundari has also sent the verse. So should I stop sharing for you to, do you want to so stop?
Or you can share, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. It's 11:23:57.
Excellent. Okay. What did I do? I did something. Okay. So, Oh dear, my Yahoo search engine is hopeless.
If you'll type.
Yeah, the problem is I have some issues with my keypad. It's okay, Mataji.
Okay.
I'll leave it. I can't do this. Anyway, so here we go. So what happened? We were talking about Ekadandi and Tridandi Sannyas. So the Ekadandi Sannyasis, we spoke about Karma Sannyasi and Jnana Sannyasi. That concept also we covered. So what is the principle of Vaishnava Sannyas? The principle of Vaishnava Sannyas, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that we reject Phalgu Vairagya and we take up what is known as Yukta Vairagya. So those who have done Bhakti Shastri must have memorized these two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktaya Vishaya Yathartam Upayunjitaha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vairagyam Cha Uchyate. So it is this Yukta Vairagya, meaning you dovetail your propensity, you use things that is favorable for Krishna consciousness and you use it in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya. Again, Yukta Vairagya should not be loosely used, and we know all of these concepts that we should really mean to use it in the right way. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his sannyas. So we'll go on to the next verse, verse 155. Sesha Kandeshuni Prabhura Shikara Mundana Vistara Karila Prabhu Advaita Kananda. In the Antikanda, Advaita Prabhu cries profusely about on hearing that the Lord has shaved his shika and hair. So Advaita Acharya, Mother Sachi, everyone, they were plunged into anxiety, and they were so sad that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually shaved off his shika and Brahmin thread. So when earlier he did have the shika and the Brahmin thread, and now it was all gone, his hair was all gone. And there is a very, very heart-wrenching pastime that we will read about the hair cutting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that will be covered in great detail. So, Sesha Khande Sachi Dukkha Akhatya Khatana Chaitanya Prabhavi Sabar Rahila Jeevana. In the Antyakanda, Sachi Devi's lamentation is indescribable, and the devotees remained alive only by the influence of Sri Chaitanya. So obviously, Mother Sachi, Advaita Acharya, and the Lord's wife at that time, Vishnu Priya Devi, they all just couldn't tolerate this distress, because they knew that they would be separated from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went away. So they were just completely devastated, but they could pass on their lives because they were continuously engaged in Krishna consciousness. So whatever amount of separation that we may have from our loved ones, Krishna consciousness is the way to actually keep us normal in this world, to keep us, pass on our lives in a normal way. The formula is service to Krishna. So if one is seriously Krishna conscious, then these things can be easily surmounted. So that is what we learn from verse number 56. Now 157. Sesha Khande Nityananda Chaitanira Danda Bhangilena Balarama Parama Prachanda. In the Antyakanda, the most powerful Sri Nityananda Ram breaks Lord Chaitanya Sannyas Danda. Question: so why did Lord Nityananda do that?
Because he thinks that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why he need to carry this? Because he's beyond any ashram.
He's beyond any ashram. He's beyond being a ekadandi sannyasi or whatever. So therefore, Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu's activities are all very difficult to understand. But our acharyas have given us different commentaries as to why Nityananda Prabhu did that. See, a sannyasi must always carry his danda. And the danda is very, very important for a sannyasi. See, it's a symbol that he carries, saying that he's a sannyasi. And it is not easy also to make up the danda. It's not easy to process and make that danda. If one's danda breaks, it's a big deal. The sannyasi has to undergo severe austerities, and he should have severe repentance, and then he has to create another danda, and then he has to carry it around. So it's a big deal. Now here comes Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Ram, he breaks the Lord Chaitanya sannyas danda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually very surprised why Nityananda Prabhu did that. But then here there is another explanation that talks about whenever the philosophy of Shuddha Advaita is converted into Viddha Advaita or monism, the acceptance of Tridanda replaced with the acceptance of Ekadanda. At that time what happens? Actually Nityananda Prabhu, he felt, why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carry this Ekadanda? Let me just break it. You know, there is no need for him to have the subordination to the Shankara Sampradaya. So thinking like that, he threw that danda into the ocean. So Nityananda showed the world that only the acceptance of Tridanda, not Ekadanda, is favorable for devotional service. In the Shankara Sampradaya, there are 10 different orders of sannyas. Like the Bharati branch, Saraswati branch, Aranya branch, like that there are 10 different branches that is commonly there. And all the 10 of them, what do? They give this Ekadanda. So the 10 Shankara linked Advaita monastic orders are Bharati, Puri, Saraswati, Sringeri, Saraswati at Sringeri, Aranya and Vana at Puri, Tirtha and Ashram at Dwaraka, and Giri and Parvata, and Sagara at Badrinath. So like this, there are different sannyas orders, even in the Advaita school or in the Ekadanda school of sannyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the sannyas under the Bharati school. But however, Nityananda Prabhu, he was not at all happy with this, and he broke it and he threw it in the ocean. So he didn't accept this Ekadanda sannyas. Seshar Khande Gaura Chandra Giya Nila Chale Apanare Lokai Rahila Katuhale. In the Antyakanda, Lord Gaura Chandra arrives at Neelachal and hides himself. So it is so sweetly explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hid himself in Neelachal. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he was requested by Mother Sachi that he should not just leave them and go far away. Mother Sachi wanted to access, he should be a little accessible. So she requested that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Puri, not very far away, so that she could, from time to time, get to know about his activities. So that was the reason it is so nicely described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hid himself in Puri Kshetra. This Jagannath Puri area, there are two beautiful mountains. One is Neelachal and the other one is Sundarachal, right? So which temple is there in the Sundarachal mountain? Any guesses?
Neelachala,
which temple?
Jagannath Puri. I mean, the Lord Jagannath temple, the main temple.
Yes. Sundarachal?
Lord Narsimhadev.
Not really. I'm not going
to... It's Gundicha temple.
Gundicha temple.
Gundicha. So these two, again, here you have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explaining that Neelachal is also called as Sri Kshetra or Purushottama, and Sundarachal mountain is situated near Neelachal. So that is where the Gundicha Mandir is. And of course, Achala means mountain. So Achala means that which moves. Achala is immovable. So Krishna says, among the immovable, I am? Who am I? What does Krishna say? Among the immovables, I am
a mountain.
Himalayas.
Himalayas. Yes, right. So mountains are immovables, and especially Krishna says he's the best of the immovable mountains. I mean, which is the grandest, the Himalayas. Okay. Sarvabhauma pratyage kari parihasa sishe sarvabhaumaira shadbhuja prakasha. Again, a very sweet way of narration we have by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Yes, the way he puts forward ideas is really sweet. He says, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hides himself in Neelachal. Then in the next verse, he says, at first, the Lord teases Sarvabhauma. So the Lord teased Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but later he displayed his six-arm form to him. Of course, we have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who explains to us that the Sharirika Bhashya that was given by Shankaracharya, which is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, is actually a subject matter of laughter. So that's why here you see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teasing Sarvabhauma, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining to him the meaning of the Vedanta Sutras from the Sharirika Bhashya point of view. And the Sharirika Bhashya, unfortunately, has the meaning very covered. So when the direct meaning is present, why would you go around and get a covered meaning? That was Mahaprabhu's point. So Mahaprabhu, the first few days when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining this very deep, intricate philosophy, he was very silent. He was just listening. And then later, he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you're simply concocting the meanings. There is no need to go around and touch your nose. You can just directly touch your nose like this. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He teased Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And later, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a change of heart after taking the association of Mahaprabhu, the Lord very mercifully showed his six-arm form. And the six arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu includes his two arms as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding the kamandalu. And then you have Lord Rama's form holding the bow and arrow, and then Lord Krishna's form holding the flute. So like this, he displayed his famous Shadbhuja form, the most very, very famous form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually even before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one person who was very, very intelligent. Just by reading the scriptures, understanding that the Yuga avatar of the age has certain characteristics, there was one person that minute he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could understand this is the Yuga avatar of this age. Who was that person? He was related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
His brother Gopinath Bhattacharya.
Yes, he was the brother-in-law of this Vasudeva Sarvabhauma, Gopinath Bhattacharya. He was the brother-in-law, and he could immediately understand that this is the Supreme Lord, and he tried to tell Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And later, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya figured it out by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, some cool, interesting facts here. So this Vasudeva Sarvabhauma, he was the son of a person by the name Maheshwara Visharadha. And this person, if I'm not wrong, was the classmate of Nilambar Chakravarti. So he was a classmate of Nilambar Chakravarti, who was the grandfather of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this Vasudeva Sarvabhauma, he also had a brother. Anyone remembers his name? I'll give you a clue. And he was the spiritual master of Jiva Goswami learned from him. We saw that in
yesterday.
Yes.
Vidya Vachaspati.
Vidya Vachaspati, yes. Vidya Vachaspati. So Vidya Vachaspati and Vasudeva Sarvabhauma are brothers. Okay, and Vidya Vachaspati, in another purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that he was also the teacher of Sanatana Goswami, because even Sanatana Goswami learned under him. Not only did Jiva Goswami learn under him. Okay, next verse, 160. Sesha Khande Pratapa Rudrera Paritrana Kashi Mishra Grihete Karila Dishthana. In the Antyakanda, the Lord delivers Maharaj Prataparudra and resides in the house of Kashi Mishra. What is the relationship between Kashi Mishra and Maharaj Prataparudra? Anyone?
Spiritual master.
Yes. Yes, yes. He was the, what do you call that person? The Rajaguru, right? The priest.
Yes.
The priest of the king. So that was Kashi Mishra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with Kashi Mishra. So, and who was Prataparudra? Prataparudra was the king of that entire Utkala region. It all belonged to him. And the Lord was so merciful that he freed him from this material entanglement. And he introduced him to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna. And the family priest of this emperor was Kashi Mishra. And it was in his house that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to live. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence, if you go on a Puri trip, you can actually go see Gambhira and other places. Okay. Damodara Swarupa Paramananda Puri Sisha Kandi E Dhuvi Sangeya Adhikari. In the Antyakanda, the two great authorities, Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri, reside with the Lord. Now, in the previous verse, we saw about King Prataparudra. So King Prataparudra's transformation, you know, that is very beautifully described. He often wanted to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tried in various ways. But the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually facilitated the private meeting of King Prataparudra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, when King Prataparudra was sweeping in front of Jagannath's car, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart was transformed. So like this, transform meaning he became merciful, that's what I mean to say. So, and Prataparudra's heart was transformed rather. Prataparudra actually developed complete devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. So the Lord was instrumental in changing the heart of a great king by the name Prataparudra. Now, there were other authorities who lived with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who are these two who are living with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One that is mentioned in this verse is Swarup Damodar, and the other one was Paramananda Puri. Now, Swarup Damodar, he was a brahmachari. He was a brahmachari from Navadvip. And there are some interesting description about how Swarup Damodar maintained his brahmachari name, though he was actually given, he was supposed to take sannyas from a person by the name Chaitanya Ananda. But before being awarded formal sannyas, he did not wait for all these formalities. He just went away. He didn't want to wait for these formalities. And he took shelter of Sri Gaurasundar. That's why you see that his brahmachari name was retained. His brahmachari name was Swarupa Damodar. So that's how he still had his name. And who was Paramananda Puri? Paramananda Puri was one of the principal disciples of Madhavendra Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held him in high esteem because Paramananda Puri was in godbrother of Ishwarapuri, right? So Ishwarapuri is the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had great respect and reverence for Paramananda Puri. Anyone knows where first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Paramananda Puri from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Anyone remembers? At what point did he meet? Where?
In Neelachal only, I think so.
Neelachal, you're right. Eventually he comes to Neelachal because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, you come to Neelachal and then there we will unite. I mean, we will be together. But actually he first sees him during the South India Yatra in the Rishabha Hills. That's where he meets Paramananda Puri. He meets him and then they have a discussion and then Paramananda Puri expresses his desire to come and permanently reside at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that I will go to Puri and you come and join me. There was another personality whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the same thing. Who was it? He meets Ramananda Rai. So he was the other person who came and who lived with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So not only did Paramananda Puri and Swarup Damodar actually meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and live with him, but also Ramananda Rai, which we will see very soon. Text 162. शिशखंडे प्रभु पुनायल गौड़ीशे मथुरा देखी बबली आनंद विशेषे In the Antyakhanda, the Lord returns to Bengal while traveling in ecstasy to see Mathura. Gaudadesh, of course, refers to Bengal area, and here specifically it refers to Navadvip area. And the Lord, he actually goes to Bengal while he's trying to go to Vrindavan. The Lord made multiple attempts to go to Vrindavan, but somehow or the other, he would get, he was not successful. I think the third attempt, if I'm not wrong, he was successful to go to Vrindavan. So once it so happened that when he was attempting to go to Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu, of course, he breaks the danda and then he goes to Advaita Acharya's house. He gets bewildered. He thinks that the Ganges was actually River Yamuna, and then Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu take him to Advaita Acharya's home. That was one attempt. The other attempt was he went to Bengal, and later he was told that he should not go to Vrindavan with such great crowds. So that also didn't work out. Then finally, in his final attempt, he actually goes to Vrindavan with his assistant Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So like this, the Lord made several attempts, and in one of the attempts, he did go to Gaudadesh. And let's read what happened there. Asiya rahila vidya vachaspati ghare tabeta aila prabhu kuliyana kare. On the way, the Lord happily stays at the house of Vidya Vachaspati before going to Kulia. So now you know who Vidya Vachaspati is? Vidya Vachaspati is the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Vidya Vachaspati was the same. He was also the son of Maheshwara Visharada and the brother of Vasudeva Sarvabhauma or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And interesting fact is that Vidyanagara was named after Vidya Vachaspati. He was very learned, Vachaspati. He was very, very learned, and Vidyanagara is named after him. So another name for Kuliyanagar, Kuliyagram, is also known as Kuladweep, because it is one of the nine islands in Navadweep. So Kuladweep area has this name, is called as Kuliyanagar. For those who have already been to Navadweep Parikrama and Navadweep Mandal, they might know all these details. Next, verse 164. Ananta Aruba Loka Gela Deki Bhare Sesha Kande Sarva Jiva Paila Nistare. In the Antyakhanda, innumerable people go to see the Lord and get thus delivered. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Bengal, lots of people went and met. And there are such beautiful pastimes for those who went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his darshan to some people, how some people were waiting to see him. And there's lot of stories, which we will see in the future verses. Okay, so he gave his mercy to innumerable people. Sesha Kande Madhupuri Dekite Chaliya Kato Duragiya Prabhu Nivrata Haila. In the Antyakhanda, the Lord goes to see Mathura, but he returns after going part way. Now, Kanai Natashal. So the Lord went up to Kanai Natashal, and then he returned to Neelachal. Okay, so he went only up till there because the devotees told him that it is not good to go with so much crowd. Okay, now who was the one who meditated, who saw this in his meditation? The Lord is going only up to Kanai Natashala.
Narsimha Brahmachari.
Yes, Narsimha Brahmachari. What did Narsimha Brahmachari do in his meditation? He was creating a beautiful pathway for the Lord's travel. He had such deep involvement in his meditation that it was a reality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really experienced the beautiful pathways, how nicely Narsimha Brahmachari had decorated it in his meditation. So the Lord went only up to Kanai Natashala near the town of Rajmohla, and then he returned to Neelachal. Sesha khande punai lena Neelachale nirvadhi bhakti sange. Bhakti Sange Krishna Kolahale. In the Antyakhanda, the Lord returns to Neelachal and engages in discussing the topics of Krishna with his devotees. Kolahala. Kolahal means actually, in one sense, it also means a lot of noise, right? Kolahala. So a lot of noise and a lot of rapture and shouting, all that is kolahal. But what was Krishna Chaitanya doing? He was doing Krishna Kolahala. So they were all chanting the kirtan of Lord Sri Krishna. It was not some mundane gossip, not mundane kolahala, but rather it was chanting Krishna kirtan. And Krishna kolahala also indicates a place that is opposite to a secluded place of material enjoyment. So that is another way of understanding this verse. So in Antyakanda, the Lord was continuously discussing the topics of Krishna with his devotees, with his intimate devotees, and also with the others, because he would go out on Sankirtan and he would change the hearts of everyone who was present in Jagannath Puri. So the different Ratayatras I described, where the Lord, he chanted the holy name and he was dancing in ecstasy and everyone there were transformed. Text 167. Gaudandeshe Nityananda Swarupe Pathana Rahile Nilachale Kato Janalano. The Lord sends Nityananda Swarupa to Bengal and stays himself in Nilachal with a few devotees. So Nityananda Prabhu, he was a constant companion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a very long time, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to go back to Bengal and be engaged in preaching in Bengal. Okay, he wanted him to go back, get married, be a grihastha, and then start preaching. And in this two orders of monastic sannyas order, you have Tirtha and Ashrama. I told you that there are 10 total, right? In that, the Tirtha class of people and the Ashrama class of people, for them, their brahmachari name is generally called a swarup. Okay, they have a sannyas title, like they get Tirtha or Ashrama or Bharati or whatever. Like that, for only the Tirtha and the Ashrama subcategories, the brahmachari name for those people is generally given as Swarup. That's why in this verse, it is described, Chaitananda Prabhu's name is described as Nityananda Swarup. His guru, Lakshmipati Tirtha, he comes in the Tirtha order, right? So he gives him the name Nityananda Swarup. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not want Nityananda Prabhu to continue to stay in Puri, because he told him, let's divide and conquer. You go to Bengal and you transform the hearts of people there, and I will continue spreading Krishna consciousness here. So therefore, our Nityananda Prabhu, he actually went to Bengal. Text 168. Sesha khande rati rai samukhe bhakta sanghe apana karila nritya apana rarange. In the Antyakanda, the Lord enjoys his pastime of dancing with the devotees before Lord Jagannath's cart. Very, very detailed pastimes we will be seeing. Of course, we have seen it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but also we will relish it from the Vrindavan Das Thakur's angle of how Lord Chaitanya danced in front of the Rath cart, and how so many people from Bengal actually went and joined him, and they all participated in this wonderful festival of dancing in front of Jagannath's cart. Sesha khande setu bhande gela gaura raya chari khanda diya puna gela maturaya. So in this one verse, the description of the South India Yatra and his final attempt to go to Vrindavan and the success of going to Vrindavan is described. They are combined together in this verse. In the Antyakanda, Lord Gauranga goes to Rameshwar and later he travels again to Mathura through the Jharikhanda forest. There is a great description in this purport about where exactly Setubandha Rameshwara is. Rameshwaram. It is actually at the southernmost tip of India. And from Rameshwaram, you can actually, not exactly the town of Rameshwaram, but slightly away from the town of Rameshwaram, there is a point from where the Setu Bandhana or the bridge of Lord Sri Rama was constructed. So this in Western historical records, it is called as the Adams Bridge. And this bridge actually connects the mainland India to the Sri Lankan island. And that bridge is still seen today, and people have evidence of this bridge that was constructed by Lord Ramachandra. So this is the Setu Bandhana. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes to Dhanushkoti. Dhanushkoti is a strip of land. If you actually see it on Google Maps, you can see beautiful views of this, how a satellite imageries of Dhanushkoti. Dhanushkoti is very, very beautiful. From point to point, you'll have certain strips of land that is still walkable to this day. So, and sometimes when the waters recede, you can still see land formations beneath. So it's very beautiful, very, very mystical, beautiful place, Dhanushkoti and Rameshwaram. So let's see what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes about Dhanushkoti and Rameshwaram, and then we'll also speak a little bit about the Jharikhanda forest. The Jharikhanda forest is the favorite pastime of kids and adults alike, because everyone likes animals. And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the animals a chant and dance. That is a very beautiful pastime in the Jharikhand forest. So let's read the purport. In order to reach Setu Bandha, Rameshwara, one should first go to Mantapam station via Ramananda station on the SIR railway. From there, one should cross the long bridge over the Panavam channel and reach Panavam station. Rameshwaram station is a couple of stations after this. It is the southernmost tip of Indian peninsula and is situated on the opposite shore from Sri Lanka. Rameshwaram is situated two stations before Dhanushkoti, the last stop of the SIR line between Panavam and Rameshwaram Island. 1 mile from the station, there are 24 lakes such as Ramatirtha, Lakshmana Tirtha, and so on. 1 mile from those lakes is a huge Rameshwara Shiva temple, the temple of Lord Shiva, who is the greatest devotee and whose worshipable Lord is Sri Rama. So this is again a very, very beautiful temple with huge halls. You can again go and look at the images of the different longest corridors. You can find some of the longest corridors in the Rameshwaram temple. Very, very beautiful, completely made of stone. In the four sides of this temple, there are four gopurams or lion gates. Within these gates is the Natashala and the main temple room, which is constructed of granite. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is talking about, the long corridors, which is also called as Natashala. I mean, it's a place of performance, actually, in those days. Everything, you know, traditionally in India, when these temples were not really invaded by the Mughals and destroyed, when the temples really existed as temples, the temple would be a central place for people to gather, actually. Besides worship, they would also have these evening gatherings. They would have evening programs and all that. So it was a place where the entire town could actually come and gather in one place. So in those days, they didn't have televisions and mobile phones and all of that. So they had each other. They had people to interact with. And where would the entire town gather? They didn't have cinema halls. So they would all go to the temple, because the temple construction was so fabulous that it also included places for people to gather and do activities together. And all these activities would be Krishna-centric. Obviously, it's in the temple. So obviously, you wouldn't have like really, really mundane activities. You would have happy Krishna-conscious activities. So these halls served as gathering places. And when these gates in the Natashala and the main... here we go. Within these gates in the Natashala and the main temple room, which is constructed of granite, beyond the temple is the Adams Bridge or the historical Setu Bandha. The forest of Jharikhand, next, this is the description of Jharikhand forest. The forest of Jharikhand is situated in the present-day states of Orissa, Western Bengal, and southwestern districts of Bihar and the eastern districts of Madhya Pradesh. In the book Akbar Nama, the forest of Jharikhand is said to extend from Birbhum up to Ratnapur, Madhya Pradesh, and from Rotashghar, South Bihar, up to the border of Orissa. The towns and cities of Atgar, Denkanal, Angul, Sambalpur, Lahar, Kenojhar, Burma, Bonai, Gangapur, Mayura Bunja, Simbhuma, Ranchi, Manabhuma, Bankur, Sanatala, Goparana, and so many other places that is mentioned are all situated within the mountains and the dense forests of Jharkhand. So people who are from this location can probably relate to it better, where exactly the Jharkhand forest is situated. Again, you can always, you know, if you have the desire to mentally visualize these places and see pictures of it, there are several yatra pictures by Loknath Swami Maharaj of the Jharkhand forest. Amazing pictures. You can really see the footprints of the animals in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is so beautiful. And you can think about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to these forests and how he made the animals chant. The stones have melted there by the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footprints. So we can see all of that, at least in picture form, if you're not able to go to these places. So the last verse for today. Seshakhande Ramananda Rai Raudhara Seshakhande Maturaya Anika Vihara. In the Antyakanda, the Lord delivers Ramananda Rai and performs various pastimes in Mathura. And here we go about Ramananda Rai. We didn't talk about him, right? Ramananda Rai was a very, very close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai, initially, he was the governor of the Kalinga dynasty. So in some places, you will find that it is written that he was the governor of Madras. So in ancient British Raj, when the Britishers were ruling, that is when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has actually written many of the commentaries, and even Prabhupada for that matter has adapted from there. British Raj consisted on the Madras state, on the Madras governance, which was actually most of South India. It was not just the Madras or the Chennai of today. It was a huge chunk of South India was considered as British Raj, or was considered as Madras state. So it extended almost from Odisha onwards down south. So therefore, here in the purport, you see Ramananda Rai was the governor of the Kalinga. Kalinga is the Orissa area, right? Kalinga, under the rule of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the independent king of Orissa. And Ramananda Rai, of course, he was the eldest of the five sons of Bhavananda. Bhavananda Patnaik's five sons. And he wrote the drama Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, and he's the most intimate devotee of the Lord. So Ramananda Samvad, very, very famous from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Ramananda Rai actually, he was the only person who really understood the Rasa Marga perfectly. And the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai is recorded, where slowly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings out answers from the mouth of Ramananda Rai. Extremely well-realized person. And again, he was the other person, as we discussed earlier, in the South India Yatra, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to actually come and join him in the Jagannath Puri area. So Ramananda Rai, he gave up his government services and he was given a full pension. And he went and he settled with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he and Swarup Damodar, they were witnessing the Antyalila pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was very heart-wrenching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy, in his absorption of Radha and Krishna, he only displayed this, his intense absorption, in front of his close confident associates. And two of them who constantly witnessed that was Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, who were non-different from Dalita and Vishakha Sakhis. So they were the ones who could actually see this transformation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ramananda Rai also, he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Antyakanda, the Lord delivers Ramananda Rai and performs various pastimes in Mathura. So we'll stop here. Verse 171 onwards, it also talks about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting with Sanatana and Rupa Goswamis. We'll see their identities and their histories also in the further verses. So thank you so much. I know it was not a class, it was just a discussion. But if we have any further discussions, if you have any further additions or comments, realizations, please feel free and please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This was the most funnest class of the whole, like, up to now. I just enjoyed it. I loved it. And I wish you could be here every day doing this Chaitanya Bhagavatam. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I do Dandavat Pranam to you, Mataji. It was so beautiful. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Mataji. It's an honor to have you on the call. Thank you so much. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Vrindavan Das Thakur for giving us this forum. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini, Adarsha Prabhupada. I agree with Mataji also. It was a very, very wonderful class. You know, one thought I was just, that came to me as we were, as you were reading this, actually the last purport, is that, you know, this was not the time of, you know, GPS and Google and all this stuff. But, you know, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very specifically, you know, details like where everything is located. But even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I mean, this is even further back, right? Even further back. And how he details it, where everything is. And I was just thinking, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami to go back and find those places where the pastimes of Radha Krishna took place, there was nothing there, right? I mean, they didn't know, there wasn't everything there. So they had to kind of excavate all these places. So I was just thinking, and I don't know, this is just maybe my thought process, but, you know, as Kali Yuga goes on, things get more and more murky. Things get more and more lost in the realms of history. People forget. But with these details, you know, three generations down the line, when Kali Yuga progresses even further, if devotees want to find where are these places, because they're so holy places, right, then this is like a roadmap. I mean, I just think it's so much forward thinking. I mean, you know, they obviously knew we'd be lost at some point. I mean, because we know that's what happens in Kali Yuga, right? That it progresses to such an extent that it's. So we need these roadmaps to know, you know, where are these places? You probably ask your grandmother, you know, where, well, maybe, you know, my grandchild will be the grandmother then, right? You know, they'll ask the grandmother, do you know where such and such a place is in India? And, you know, they'll think back to, oh yeah, there was this place and this, you know, village. It's so, you know, so anyway, so my point is, I just think it's amazing that they are putting these in place for us. And I'm thinking, like I said, it's for preparation for in case things get lost. So we know where to go find Krishna.
Wow.
Pastimes.
Actually, thank you for opening up that perspective. I was, as you were talking, when I was thinking of this, if you read the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, they have great details of every location, right? Like, for example, okay, Ram stayed here and then he moved on here. And today, the same places, they are somehow present in a same name or similar name. And people are able to trace the path of Lord Ram. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also been to these different places. People are, we tried, right, in Bhakti Sangha, we did the South India. It was hard, but then here you have Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati giving details like which railway station, how to take the train, where you should go down, how many miles you have to walk. It's so amazing. I mean, as you said, they have given us the road maps. And when I was reading that purport, I couldn't even tell half the names. And I was like, whatever, it's in, you know, in this area. So please, those who know this area can figure it out. I mean, we have so much details. If we go there, we'll definitely, with these roadmaps, we should be able to figure out these details. And that's how we see these Loknath Maharaj's yatras. They have everything in place, every single location. And even in the falls, they have found the footsteps, the imprints. So amazing. So amazing. Yeah. Our acharyas are wonderful. Thank you for throwing light on that, Mataji. It is something very important. Thank you.
The names, because even the names change, because there's no more, I say it upon the right, so it's Adam's Bridge.
Adam's Bridge, yeah.
Right? So, you know, a couple of generations down the line, we won't be that name. Who knows what name you'll be, right?
Exactly.
Hare Krishna. Wonderful session, and I do agree with Sri Hari Radha Mataji that you should be here every day.
No, we miss you. Come on.
No, you should be there every day. It was such a wonderful, you know, wonderful session. And I do agree with what Thanishri Mataji was saying, that yes, our acharyas are wonderful. They have given us the roadmaps for these for these dhams to visit and also the roadmap to go back home, back to Godhead. So they are giving everything to us. Now it's up to us that we need to follow these roadmaps.
Wow, nice point. Not only the roadmaps here, but you've given us the roadmap to go back to Godhead. That's so
true. Yeah, so true. And yeah, even the name changed, so what? But still, you know, we could have out. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Panishri Mataji. Your insights are always wonderful. And thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Very wonderful session.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Very nice class.
Omodakitasi.
It's very nice. I was wondering, or maybe, I don't know, it says a karma sannyas. That means, does it mean that the sannyasi, they take sannyas and they don't want to do any activity, any karma, because that is binding?
Possible, Mataji, because I just tried to, I don't understand the purport. Let me open up the purport. I just read from the purport. Possible, because that also makes sense as you're telling. I feel that is also right. Hold on, let me just open up the purport. They don't want to do the karma, right? That should be the meaning. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah.
They think it's Maya.
Yeah, they think it's Maya, right? Here we go. Yeah. Sannyasa means to give up absorption in material enjoyment, endeavoring for material enjoyment or artificial endeavor for renunciation. Is called karma sannyas. You're right, Mataji. You're right. I said it wrong. Karma sannyas means they're taking sannyas because they don't want to engage in material work. Is that what you said?
I think they would, any work.
Yeah, any work, yeah. But still, yeah, that's right. That's the meaning of karma sannyas, yes.
Yeah.
That is the meaning of karma sannyas, but they end up thinking about objects of sense gratification. Yeah. That's right, Mataji. The meaning is not endeavoring for any work, any artificial endeavor, for anything. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice. Very nicely explained. I agree with Sri Radha. Sri Hari Radha Mataji. It's really class every day.
I want you to come here so often. We want to hear you so badly. Whatever you have to read out of whatever Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, I'm ready to hear 24 hours. You're so, so beautiful. Your reading is, oh my God.
Mataji, please bless me and please pray for me, Mataji. And yeah, we'll benefit from each other's association. Thank you so much for being there. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hey Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for taking us very quick summary with all the verses and so many different pastimes seeing. It's very nice, Mataji, and detailed explanation about Pika Dandi and Tri Dandi and why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken. It was very nice, Mataji, so beautifully explained everything. Thank you, Mataji, for your beautiful association today this morning.
Thank you, Vinita Mataji. Thank you so much for everything.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Bol.
So nice, Mataji. Like, no matter how deep the philosophy is, you make it so easy to understand. Like, your always classes are so friendly to listen, you know. The philosophy I know is like a bit, little bit too much. But then to make it understand with the story, you're our grandma. Always I feel that. So it's really, really, really wonderful class, Mataji. And if because of the class, again, you feel that yes, you should go back and read each and every verse patiently. Like that inspiration always I get from Srila Prabhupada's classes. And like you really get back into that mood, you know, like, you make us feel that, yes, that it's a need of the hour to read each and every verse so deeply. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, really. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Hari Bol, Mataji.
Thank you. It's so nice to see you, Mataji, and have your association.
Thank you, Krishna.
Brings us a lot of happiness to see you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances, Mataji. I'm glorious to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very sweet, sweet class. Very sweet, Mataji. It was so fun. Didn't realize when it was 1 hour already. So very, very grateful. As all other Mataji, it's totally, totally second, third, fourth, everything, Mataji. So, so wonderful. And about the sannyas, this morning I was reading in 3 Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, 3rd chapter, 6th. Verse, it says, those who externally they control their senses, but mentally they keep meditating upon the objects of senses, they are nothing but the mithyacharis or the pretenders. And then Prabhupada, next verse, he says that, the soul is so active. The body might be dead, but the soul always want to engage into something. So if we don't engage it in Krishna consciousness, it will be engaged into, Maya consciousness. So, yeah, I was just, could relate to it. And it is so beautiful. Srila Prabhupada's purport and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. It's together, it's so even more nectarian, and you brought it so wonderfully, Mataji. Very, very grateful. And thank you once again, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Anuradha Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you for, we have some Bengali fallback, right? Some, if you have any problems with Bengali, get to Anuradha Mataji.
Thank you, always, yes.
Sweetening the Chaitanya Bhagavat reading. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Somebody said,
Hare Krishna Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Gopinath Ki Jai. Today I miss 15 minutes for that, please forgive me. I will hear after the class. Mataji, in my case, I will not able to sit 20 or 30 minutes to read Shishi Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or Chichi Tetana Chandamut. Even that also not understanding. But be honest, Mataji, day by day from last 4 years, we are growing because of all Bhakti Sangha, Mataji's association, especially you are the main pillar, Ajay Kittidas Sundari Mataji, Ajay Lalitangi Mataji, and all Bhakti Sangha teacher Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev. Not only me, my Prabhu, my 2 daughters, everybody is hearing Krishna Katha morning also and afternoon also. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, given association of Bhakti Sangha, all people. Thank you, Ajay Kittidas Sundari Mataji. You are the main pillar. Hare Hare Gauranga, holding all of you with you. And he was a Krishna conscious. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. We aspire to have your sincerity. Thank you so much for your association. Every day on the call. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Titi Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. How glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Seriously, like what everyone said, I really hope you can come and speak tomorrow. Really, really, we need you tomorrow.
No, so, I think
Mataji,
it's going to be fun.
Tomorrow is going to be fun. More fun.
I know, it will be very fun. Yeah, you
all. Tomorrow is a special speaker, Mataji.
Very special.
Yeah, you might end up beating up the speaker. Yesterday, like Prabhuji was saying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to beat up Advaita Acharya. So, yeah. So, Mataji, I had a few questions. So, you talked about how Swarup Damodar Goswami and Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri had come to Jagannath Puri to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? But then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we normally read about Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya serving. So where did Paramananda Puri go?
He was also there only, but in the privacy, his very intense ecstatic emotions, private emotions were seen by Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. But Paramananda Puri was a little more senior to him, meaning he had a lot of, it's a reverence kind of a relationship that he had with Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri came and he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wanted to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So there are many devotees who joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and they were there during his Antilila pastimes. But he was a little more confidential and private with a few of them. Some people could understand him because they, you know, because of their identities. Lalita and Vishakha understand what Radha Krishna feel like, right? Like that.
Indulekha Mataji in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read that past time, right? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those sand dunes and he said, oh, this is Govardhan, and he was running after and he was saying, oh, Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, and everybody followed. But later, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Puri were also coming, old people, you know, they were also coming. And as soon as Mahaprabhu saw them, he became grave and he said, oh, what happened? Nothing. Okay, let's go back to our duty. Then he started Sankirtan because he doesn't want to, you know, tell them, you know, his confidential pastimes. But yes, as Preeti Lasni Mataji said, they were there, but the confidential pastimes were shared with only Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. So I was remembering that pastime.
Yeah, that was very sweet pastime. Yes, okay. Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, that makes sense. Can I also ask you, I have three questions. The second question would be on, like you talked about how there are 10 different, you know, sub-groups within the Advaita Sampradaya. So, ten orders of sannyas. So, and then they have different titles, right? Tirtha is also there, only, yeah, Bharati and all that. So, similarly, is there anything for the Tridharmi sannyas?
No, Dasa. That's all.
Sannyasi.
Swami. We say Swami Goswami. But
Thakur and Swami.
Yeah, Thakur. Yeah. Not Thakur. For us, at least in ISKCON, you see Swami Goswami Adhikari. Not Sannyas, right? No Adhikari Sannyas. Yeah, that's all. Swami Goswami. That's all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji. Third question was on Sri Lanka and India. So, okay. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, like the fifth canto class by a few weeks back, they mentioned that the Sri Lanka that is there is a part of the Bhumandala below. It's
The islands of Simhala. You call it, right? Before, in the Jambudvipa description, you have smaller islands, and I think one of the islands is Simhala, right? Is that what you're getting to? In the fifth
canto? Yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji, there.
Yes, one of the islands is Simhala. And today, you see Ceylon is actually, it is a derivative of that name, Simhala, or that's what he says. And the language is also has the same kind of a name. Simhali?
Sinhalese.
Yes. As far as I have understood and as far as I have researched and whatever from the commentaries and of our areas, what I understand is that the Rama Setu was definitely built. I mean, there are so many speculations, okay? Maybe this Lanka was different, that Lanka was different. One understanding that we can get is that it is definitely this Lanka for sure, but the size of the Lanka was much more, meaning it was not like this little teardrop that you see. It was a much larger land, a much larger mass of land. And the distances, because again, there is a huge debate about 100 yojanas, because in Ramayanam, you see that the bridge was 100 yojanas. Today, it is 35 kilometers. Does it even match? Yes, the ratio matches. 1:10 ratio matches, but then that maybe the yojana calculation doesn't match. So one understanding is that the distances and the masses of land were much larger in those days. In previous yugas, just like how you have the size of people was much larger, they had longer lives. But still, after all this, after all the, you know, speculations that is thrown, it is still again and again coming down to the point that the bridge was constructed from the southern part of India to the island of Sri Lanka, which could have been much larger earlier in the earlier times. Like today, you have the Himalayas. which is definitely much lesser than what it is described in the earlier time. Land formations, they keep changing. And it was much bigger. The access, you know, from Himalayas, you can access higher realms. Today in our mundane body, like, you know, you do some research on the Himalayas. It's very interesting. You see, you read about Swarga Rohini Parva of Mahabharata. Then you read about how the Gandhamadana mountains were accessible. From Gandhamadana mountains, you could access higher realms. You could go to heavenly planets. So these things may not be visible and possible today. Okay, in the kind of bodies that we have and in the limited scope, and the people of Kali Yuga may not be able to do these things. Parikshit Maharaj, he was able to access certain higher realms once he went to the Himalayas. You read this in the Bhagavatam itself. You know, after Uttarakuru Varsha, you can reach the other islands of Jambudvipa. Other Varshas of Jambudvipa, not islands. The other Varshas of Jambudvipa, as currently we are in the Bharata Varsha, you can go to the Hari Varsha, and all this, you read Ramayana, all the Vanaras went everywhere. The Vanaras just didn't stick to India or Asia. They went to so many other realms that are not accessible today. So like that, we can understand that, okay, we are talking about the greater Lanka. Now that particular island that is described as an island around Jambudvipa, it could be, you know, again, this is only an understanding for us. It could just be like an extension, like, yeah, there is also this Simhala that is around this Jambudvipa. Because Jambudvipa is so big, it is just not Earth, right? So Jambudvipa is so big. Some people say, okay, Ravana's capital could have been extended there. But for all practical purposes, Mataji, we understand that the bridge was built between Lanka and India. We can discuss more, probably with some more geologists or something later, and we can see how the Shastras have been commented by our Acharyas and go ahead to see how we can understand this. Like if you watch some of the videos of Sataputta Prabhu, he also talks about how the same, you know, in some places in the fifth canto, certain verses, they just indicate the larger Asia, whereas certain verses, they also indicate the higher realms that is not directly accessible. So maybe from, you know, again, I don't want to speculate that too on record, but what I'm trying to tell you is there are higher dimensions, yes, accepted, but the bridge was built from point A to point B. And maybe Lanka was larger before, but this is what it is. Okay. So I'll stop here.
Yes, Mataji, I had to ask you the question. Thank you so much, because I know you would have a wonderful explanation for it. Thank you so much. Such a perfect answer. Very nice, very nice. Of course, definitely we can look at it a little more in detail. But this was enough for me, actually. So, Mataji, I thank you so much. I really love where you explained why we need the shikha. I mean, not we, why they keep the shikha for the Tridharni Sannyasis. That was very, very sweet. And it was so nice. I really have to go back and check the pictures of Jharkhand Loknath Maharaj's yatra. So thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you for the nice answers too.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just wanted to thank you for your wonderful class. And I just wanted to add something to what you just said right now, you know, about the, yeah, it is true that the Jambudvip, from Pavaneshwar Prabhu's class, whatever I understood was that actually Lanka was not this Lanka. I don't know. This is what I understood. Again, okay, limitation. Yeah. It is not
this, yes, Mataji, that was the question.
Yes, it's not this Lanka. And secondly, all except for Vrindavana and Ayodhya, of course, which we have in India, they are the original places of pastimes. But even this Himalayas, there's a bigger Himalayas in the surrounding the Jambudvipa. And the Swargarohan of the Pandavas actually took from those Himalayas, not the Himalayas here. That is why those Himalayas are the larger Himalayas, where even now many, you know, elevated rishis and saints, they even live now. And even the Badrikashram, as today explained by Keshavanand Prabhuji, that it is that Badrikashram where actually even Madhavacharya went and, you know, took initiation from Veda Vyasa himself. So that's just an addition. And thank you so much for this wonderful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You're right, yeah. So all these realms, they have a higher realm, which is accessible by some people. And yeah, the greater, as you call it, the greater Himalayas or the greater whatever, yeah, Lanka. Yeah, they're all connected, interconnected, accessible. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for that. Parima Mataji.
But then why do we see that remnants of those bridge and those signs right in Indian Ocean?
I still very strongly say that the bridge is built from Ramanathapuram. In point. In fact, you can even go and see the bridge, the remnants of the bridge.
Yeah, it's still
part of the Great Alanka. So maybe it's a teardrop today. It was a much larger land, and the other part, the other so-called Simhala Islands, was even accessible from there. Just like how you have Gandhamadana Mountain, which is there. It is there in the lower Himalayas. But maybe the higher realms are accessible from there. So that's again my point. I stick to that point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Where is Gandhamadana Mountain, Mataji?
Somewhere in the Himalayas, Mataji. Somewhere in the Himalayas.
We're still there? Oh, wow.
Yeah, and even Badri also, lower Badri is still accessible. You can go to higher Badri. You can go to the place where Vyasa met Madhvacharya. But you can go there from the point of Badri, right? So the same point. Yeah.
Okay.
So everything has a higher realm, but the thing is, those days it was accessible. Today, one small teardrop of land is accessible.
Yeah, because as you said, the longevity decreases, the land decreases.
The happens. You know, like, you know, even from certain parts in Himalayas, they were able to access, like if you read Ramayana and Mahabharata, they were able to access some higher realms from the same, a different dimension from the same land. When I say higher realms, it's a different dimension from the same land. So why not Lanka is to Simhala, that region that is described in the Jambudvipa?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Please set my number 10 or pranam to you. Thank you so much for such an nectarian class and for your great association and for sharing so many nice facts in today's class. Thank you so much, Mataji. Dear devotees, if there are no more questions or realizations, with Preeti Vilasini Mataji's and all devotees' permission, I would like to close the call. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah anant vaishnavind ki jai namacharya haridas thakur ji ki jai shri prabhupada ki jai guru and gauranga ki jai shri chaitanya bhagavat ki jai har grace priti vilasini mata ji ki jai
beautiful class priti so beautiful thank you
hare krishna